Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sam Acho of the Bears loves Hub Arkish. We love Hub Arkish too, and we look forward to talking with him as always. It is time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's keyword is direct. Text direct to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is direct to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Hub Arkish is the director of football content at Shaw Media. He is the editor of Pro Football Weekly. He's on Twitter at Hub_Arkish. And he was there at Hallis Hall talking with Sam Acho yesterday. An impressive performance, I think, from Acho, Hub, especially in the way that he wasn't cool with some of the questions or the way that they were being asked. He said, no, that's not the right question. Ask me this question. And he had things he wanted to say and found a way to say them.
You know, Sam is an extremely bright young man, extremely well-spoken young man, in spite of whatever debate he and I had. And by the way, I hope it was clear that was all in good fun. Sam and I are old friends dating back to doing a series of Miller Lite Top Draft shows right here on the Score. And the point that he was determined to make was that his teammates, in addition to all the work he does in the community, are already doing a lot about what these protests were supposed to represent, and that the end game was never a desire to be able to protest the national anthem. It was never a protest of the national anthem. It was to raise awareness. And Acho's point is that my teammates and I have gone beyond that. We are out in the community working at it right now. Do we totally agree with what the league is doing here? You know, am I happy that the George McCaskey, who I have a great relationship with, voted for it? Maybe not. But it's also not the end of the world. You know, it's time to move on to the bigger issue, which is how do we fix some of the things that we've been protesting about?
That is kind of what he focused on, moving the ball forward some, and I was impressed by that myself. I wonder if you think that even though, and despite one abstention from the voting, even though every owner voted for it, there seems to be a way that ownership could make those efforts by players to fix things in communities the best they can more visible, more out front. Do you feel like that may be where we're headed?
Well, you'd like to believe that, Connor, but I don't know. You know, now you've got to get into each of the individual 32 groups. You know, Christopher Johnson, who is now the chairman, CEO of the team his dad bought, it was Woody who bought the team, but he runs the Jets now, has already said his players are welcome to protest the anthem if they want, and he will pay any fines. He's not the only owner, you know, who is going to do that. And so clearly the end game is to get in the communities to support the people suffering from these injustices, not the players. The players are just trying to help. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know what your guys' reaction is, but I have been unable to escape this image for the last 24 hours of Roger Goodell gathering all his lieutenants and supporters around him in a conference room and sitting down and saying, okay, we've got this issue with the national anthem. How can we make it worse? And they did.
Yep.
You know, I mean, this makes absolutely no sense. They have totally contradicted themselves. They've thrown the players under the bus. And so now the idea that their response is going to be to go out and do good work, it's a little hard for me to be able to predict that.
When George McCaskey has done what he has done to not just hear players, but listen to them, and actually, as Acho was talking about, go to a prison in Louisiana and make these efforts, how do you think that's going to inform the Bears' actual reaction to this policy? Do you expect a statement, as you mentioned some other owners have done? And why then do you think that these owners who do care would be so quick to rubber stamp this in a vote?
Well, I think the key, Dan, is they weren't quick. You know, this has been under debate one-on-one in small groups, you know, going back to last November. It was a main topic of the owners' meetings in Orlando at the end of March, which I attended. They were separated badly. There were chasms between certain groups of owners. There still are. These were their last meetings prior to this season. They obviously felt that they couldn't leave without doing something. Apparently, you know, they agreed. It was actually 31-0 in an abstention, I believe, from Jed York in San Francisco. What they decided was that this was better than where they were at. I'm not sure how they felt that way, but I think, you know, that's obviously their position right now. You know, and as I wrote in the editorial for Pro Football Weekly, to me it's pretty clear that they caved to political pressure in a desire to have their cake and eat it too. And in the process, they threw their players under the bus, you know, and now they're already backtracking because they know the players are not going to react well to this. The bigger issue, but an equally important issue is what they've done is they've taken possibly their biggest problem, which is the idea of the all-powerful Roger Goodell having complete sway over everything, and created a multitude of new debates for him to arbitrate and to rule on and to hand out punishment. And the union's going to go nuts over that, you know, and that's going to be the next step in this thing. You know, what they said is that players, you know, have to stand for the national anthem. What are they going to do when the first player stands with his back to the flag, or the first player raises his fist?
Because as I read the language, Hub, It is stand and respect.
Right.
And that's when Art Rooney said that linking arms would be seen as disrespect. So I think that would be punishable. That would be the same as kneeling. I think it's all equivalent. Raising a fist, turning a back, linking arms. I believe all of that would be equivalent, pursuant to the letter of the rule, to kneeling.
Well, and that's Art Rooney's interpretation, and my guess would be that that was the intent. But what is written clearly in the policy, it's the last bullet point, is it'll be up to Roger Goodell to decide. And so they took what's going to be the biggest bone of contention in their next collective bargaining agreement, and they said, let's exacerbate this as much as we can. Because even though it is not the problem that everybody wants to make it out to be, I believe at its peak last year, there was 29 players on one Sunday who had some form of protest out of over 1,800. And that was on one Sunday. I mean, most weeks it was a handful of guys. And so you took something that really wasn't an issue until... I better be careful. The guy in the White House decided to make it one. And now it's become a huge problem for the NFL. And now they've tacked it on to what was already one of their biggest problems. And it's just going to make things worse. That and the fact that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid are still unemployed, which is pretty much inexcusable.
Hub, the CBA is coming up in 3 years, and a lot of people figured that to be a contentious renegotiation without this new rule. I've been trying to rack my brain and think about it. And I know you touched on it some, but trying to think of any reason that ownership had to get together and make this rule without the input of the union, if for nothing else than to extend some kind of olive branch when you get to negotiation. I can't find a single reason. I wonder if there's anything I'm missing. I wonder if there's anything ownership imagines that they've got that the union doesn't on this.
Well, you know, Connor, I don't think you're missing anything, but I think it's actually pretty clear. This is how they see the union. They play hardball constantly. And again, and believe me, I don't want to, you know, start trouble. I'm not getting any politics or anything like that. But it's much like, you know, what's going on in our lives everywhere is people, you know, the owners believe that they are all powerful, that they are number one, that this is all about, you know, what's best for the game in terms of their profits, and that the players are employees, not indentured servants, but certainly employees, and they don't care what the union thinks. They believe, the owners believe it's their game and it's their right to make whatever rules they want, and they're not terribly worried about the next negotiation, and unfortunately I understand why, because the reality of this is that as long as the NFL player's average career is about 6 years, by the way, you always hear that it's 3.2 or 3.4. That's terribly distorted because that includes guys who spend 1 year on a practice squad and are never really in the league. But amongst players who earn a year of vesting towards their pension, I believe the average is about 6 years. But even with 6 years, if that's what a guy's got and he's at risk of losing a season by going on strike or supporting a labor issue, they're not going to do it. They don't have to battle a strong union in the way that management does in many other industries. And so, you know, it'll get ugly and there'll be a lot of negative publicity and they'll have to overcome it. But the owners believe that the only way to handle their players and their union is to dictate to them and to never let them feel like equals.
You know, I read Eric Edholm and when he has talked to players, that this escalation, the very existence of this move, like you say, if they had tried to plan something to blow up in their face like an exploding cigar any better, I don't know that you could have, because just the players on Twitter, the players that Eric Edholm talked to say, now we're re-energized. We are even newly committed to being able to have our voices heard and calling attention to such things. And now all they've done is change it. Whether it's during the anthem or not during the anthem, now there can be the spectacle of those who stayed in the locker room, exiting the locker room together, locking arms, fists in the air, messages drawn on their gloves or on towels in ways that can bypass these rules where the owners are playing whack-a-mole here. Now you can't do this. And now there's no more making a show of walking out of the locker room proudly. Like all they're doing is asking for new things beyond their control.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Dan, the thing that probably upsets me the most about this is Goodell went out of his way in a statement to specifically say it was unfortunate that people assumed that players were protesting the anthem when, in fact, they were not doing that and did not mean to be disrespectful in any way. Nonetheless, if they do it going forward, we're going to punish them, and if they want to avoid it, they have to stay in the locker room. So now what they've said is any player staying in the locker room is disrespecting the flag. and this is where I say they're trying to have it both ways, and you can't. You know, I mean, I admired what Goodell said, you know, last October and last November when he was supporting the players. And do I tend to be more liberal? Yes, I do. But this isn't about being liberal or conservative. The laws of this land are pretty clear, you know, and what makes this such a special place to be is that we do have the freedom of speech and the right to protest. Now, you know, whether the players should be doing this during NFL games or not, it is a trickier question. There's a business involved. I don't pretend to have the right answer, but as you just said, what the league did was they said, okay, well, you know, let's kind of take a side. Let's pretend that we're supporting the players, but clearly not support them. And now, you know, put them out there as the bad guys, and that's the way, from people I've been talking to the last 24 hours, this is being perceived.
So, Hub, how's Trubisky looking?
You know, the shame of it, I felt bad for these guys yesterday because Sam is the player rep, and so he knew he was going to have to talk about this. But we talked to Mitch, we talked to Mark Helfrich, we talked to Matt Nagy, other guys. All they wanted to do was talk football, and of course everybody had to be asked the question. Mm-hmm. Mr. Trubisky looks good to me. I think that you got to be careful in what you read into these OTAs. Even in a normal circumstance where you're not putting in an all-new offense and a radically different offense, these OTAs are more about timing. They're about learning. They're about fundamentals. You can only see so much. But what we've got now is they're stopping after every second or third play because it's something new. Somebody missed an assignment, which is all to be expected. There's nothing negative about it. Plus, Mitch Trubisky basically has one receiver that he's thrown to before, and that's Josh Bellamy. You know, I mean, he was getting backup reps last year in camp when Kevin White was healthy, so he really rarely threw to him. And everybody else from last year is gone, and everybody's new. So I know that I'm excited about the coming season for Mitch Trubisky. From what I've seen of him, I believe he is every bit as capable of having a second season this year, much like the second seasons last year had by Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. I wouldn't have said that a year ago because I only had 13 game tapes out of North Carolina, but watching his 12 NFL starts, getting to know these new coaches, I am very impressed with this coaching staff. Again, haven't coached a game yet. We'll wait and see. But in terms of their theory, in terms of how they present themselves, their attitude, their youthful excitement, I think that Trubisky's in a really good situation right now with a very good chance to take a big step forward this year.
Hub, always great talking to you, and interesting times as always around the Bears and the NFL. We know you're right there in the middle of it and always there for us, so thank you.
Thank you for having me. Take care, guys.
That's Hub.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.